Let me pray. God, thank you so much for all that you're doing in our lives and in this place and through this church. And you've been doing so many incredible things. It's just humbling to be a part of it. You are a good God, and we need you. We need you to provide the right people for the future of your ministry here. We need you to work in our own lives and show us our own weak spots. We need you to encourage those who need encouragement, to strengthen those who need strength. God, I don't know what everybody walks in here with today, but we all walk in here with something that we're carrying. And I pray that during the next moments, we would just loosen our grip and let go and let you do your good work in us through your Spirit and through your Word. We trust you. We want to follow you. So would you do that good work again this morning? We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, Grace Free Church, Orangeburg, 9 o'clock, and Grace Free Church, Tremont. We are pumped to have you guys on here. It's pretty cool that we have a whole other part of our church meeting up in Tremont, Pennsylvania right now, and we love you. And I hope Josh didn't mess it up. The other Josh didn't mess it up last week when he was up there preaching. I know he didn't. He's phenomenal. He's rooting for the Patriots, though, so there's that too. But it's awesome to have you guys on here. It's awesome to be here with all of you. You ready to jump into our next to last week in this series, Joy in the Dirt? We've been talking about joy, not happiness, because happiness depends on what happens to you. Happiness is completely circumstantial. That's why it's fleeting. That's why you try to grab happiness and you have it for a minute, and then the next minute you don't have it anymore. It's because it depends on what happens to you. And what I want for this new year for me is what I want for you and what I want for this church. It's not happiness. Oh, I'm good if you're happy. That's good. But I want something better. And that better thing is joy. Joy is that deep-seated goodwill, contentment, and peace that sticks even when your circumstances go sideways. It's the peace that you cannot explain when you're walking through grief. It's the joy that sits there, even when things are happening in your circumstances or relationships that would cause others to hit the panic button. It's that general confidence that God's got you, and because God's got you, you got this. I want joy. Do you want joy? You want joy? Good. That's what we're talking about today, and joy happens in community, which is why I feel a little off that there's this huge gap right here in Orangeburg. You guys are gonna have to help me feel joy this morning, because I don't know, is that downwind? Do I smell? I have mints, I eat mints all the time. Joy happens in the context of community. And if you have your Bibles or you want to follow along, we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Last week was Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We hit this just a little bit when we did in September, a thing about our groups, and Josh does an awesome job coordinating those. And but before we get to that, there's two kinds of people in this world. There's the kind of, see where you fit in this whole little thing here. There are the kind of people who pull up to your house and text you, hey, I'm here outside in the car. And then there's the other kind of people who just walk in unannounced and help themselves to a glass of milk from your fridge. Do you know people like this? Are you people like this? There's two kinds of people in this world. There's the people who get super annoyed that I never button the cuffs of my jacket, and then there's the people that appreciate that I'm just being me. There's two kinds of people in this world. There's the kind of people that go to an event and act like they're the event mayor. My wife says that about me. She's always like, dude, you are not the mayor of this party. Can you just sit down? And then there's the kind of people that go to a party and they're just there for the meatballs. They don't want to talk. They don't want to talk to anybody. Less human interaction, the better. They just Irish goodbye you after they had a sandwich or two. You know who I'm talking about? You got people, some of you are like, that's me. I'm I'm the meatball lurker. There's kind of people that start a group text for everything. They meet you and they're pulling you into group text. We got an elder like that here. And then there's the kind of people who you got to ask them if they're alive because they haven't responded to a text from you in 3 months. And when you ask them, they just give you the thumbs up emoji. And you spend the whole day questioning your relationship with them. There's the kind of people who come into church and stay until we shut the lights off and kick them out. And then there's the kind of people who sneak in late and leave early. So that one might hit. Whatever kind of people you are, whether you're introverted or extroverted, whether your good idea of a Friday night is sitting alone in a room with no noise and a good book, or you go to Target just to feel like you're around people, whichever kind of person you are, you need people. And you were designed for community. God grows you in the context of relationships, not isolation. So little sidebar, good job. You made it here. That's a good step. And joy is experienced in your life through the growth that God does in and through the context of relationships. We need people. Genesis, God created man and declared it was not good for man to be alone. Now, this is not romantic relationship. This is used at weddings, and the passages here are hijacked by weddings, but they don't belong in just weddings. Because what this is talking about is community and connection. And without it, you will be less healthy. Physically, actually less healthy. You will be stunted in your growth in your relationship with God. So people tell me all the time, like, I love Jesus, I just don't need church. Well, your definition of church might be wrong, so I need to figure that out. But that statement, depending on what your definition of church is way wrong. God gave us the church, the body of believers who follow and believe in Jesus Christ as the community that we need in a world that is constantly pushing us towards isolation. Living in isolation, living without people, it hurts us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You were designed to be connected, and this is for you. Even some of the people I love most in this world are super introverted. And the older I get, the more introverted I feel. And I get it. You need connection. Even if your idea of resting is not being around anybody, you still need connection. And for those of you that are super outgoing and the life of the party, guess what? You need meaningful connection. Not just superficial party connections. Not just, I got a ton of friends on Facebook who know what I post but don't really know me. Connections. All of us, we need people. And without people and community, we are less healthy, we're less strong, and we do not experience as much joy in our lives. This passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 is an interesting one. It's a chapter that is kind of broken up into two parts. The first part is verses 1 through 6, and the second part is verses 7 through 12. If you want to pop open a phone and follow along, or open your Bible and take notes, I love writing in my Bible. If you need a Bible, we give away Bibles every week. Just grab one off the back shelf in this room, and in Tremont, just grab one off that little round table in the back. How impressive is that I just nailed where the Bibles are in Tremont? I can't remember what I'm supposed to do after church today, and I never remember what I need to pick up at the grocery store, but I just remembered where the Bibles are at Grace Tremont. This is, again, penned by Solomon under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his observations about life. It's an incredible book. It's a book that I recommend reading all the way through in one sitting, the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not that long. It's a great read. But let me just break down verses 7 through 12 for a minute with you. Are you with me? You ready for this? It says this. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. This is phrasing that keeps coming up for Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. It says, there was a man all alone, and he had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom, this is the big question this guy he's observing asks, for whom am I toiling? And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? Like he had been successful, a hard-working person. People probably respected him for that. He had maybe a good job or good business or was able to provide the things he needed to provide, but something was still missing. It's not about what you get that will fill your heart. It's about who you're with. God first and others second, that fills your heart. And though he had worked and accomplished and filled his bank accounts and wine closet and bread, whatever, something was still missing. And he's left here asking this question, what's the point? What's the point of all this work and all this money and all this success if I don't have anyone to share it with? What about my enjoyment? And written between those lines is this realization that this guy is not enjoying life. Not because of not having the things we think will give us joy, but because he doesn't have anybody to share them with. This isn't about marriage, romantic relationships. This is about community and companionship. It's about having a deep friendship. It's about being known and knowing somebody. That's what this is about. And I have a couple of things to pull from this passage before I read the rest of it. Here's number one, if you're a note taker, God gives purpose, but it's in relationships that our purpose is lived out, experienced. It's through relationships that our purpose is enjoyed. It's through relationships we see how God makes something beautiful through our purpose. Maybe you're not feeling purposeless because you haven't put your finger on what God has called you or gifted you to the world to do. Maybe you don't feel your purpose because you are trying to live it out in isolation, away from community, and specifically away from the community God calls us to explore our purpose in, which is the church. Who are you toiling for? And what's the point if you don't have community to enjoy? You see, isolation, this is the second thing I wrote down. Isolation is not neutral. It always wears on you. You get the language of meaningless a lot in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon is looking over the world in all of his wisdom. He has everything afforded to him. This guy is bonkers loaded. There's nothing he doesn't have. There's nothing he can't get. Filthy, filthy rich. Everything at his access. Power, influence, all of it. Everything we dream of, he's got. Like, more than if you hit the Powerball. Like, that's how good Solomon's got it right now. And he keeps looking out at the world and observing things and saying, yeah, that's kind of meaningless. It's kind of meaningless. And you get that language a lot, but you only get the language written in here twice. In fact, in the NIV translation, you only get it once. In some other more paraphrased, you see it kind of twice. But did you catch that in verse 8? It says, this too is meaningless. And then there's an M dash, and it says, a miserable business, exclamation point. Like, it's not enough for Solomon to go, yeah, that's kind of meaningless. It's kind of meaningless if you're just working your butt off and you don't have connection, if you're not a part of community. It's kind of meaningless if you're gifted and you have skills and abilities and God's given you this incredible blessing, but you're not using it in the context of community and experiencing the joy that comes from it. That's not, Solomon goes like, let's put an exclamation point on this. It's not just meaningless, it's miserable. Ouch. Isolation is not neutral. It erodes. Trying to do it on your own is not neutral. It's weakening. Trying to follow Jesus on your own, it's not neutral. It's set up to fail. Isolation is not neutral. Third, God expresses his care for you through other people. I mean, if you were to take a second and think about the times God showed up in your life, how often is it he showed up through one of his kids? Through someone else that he moved or placed in your life to be that encouraging word, to be that smile that you needed, to help you with that thing you needed help with? I mean, sometimes God touches us in very personal ways, just us and God. But most of the time, as I look in my life, he shows up over and over and over and over again in the context of relationship. Two are better than one. Sounds like Galatians. Carry each other's burdens, and in doing so, you accomplish the law of Christ. Two are better than one. It says, Solomon says, because they have good return on their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. When we share our lives with others in community, we are more productive and we are more protected. And that's what this whole solution to this issue that Solomon lays out here, he's like, hey, stop doing life alone. Stop trying to do it alone. Don't you see? If you just had one other person that you could connect your heart to, one other person that you could connect to, this isn't about marriage. It's not about romantic relationship. This is just about having a brother to go through life with, having a sister to go through life with. If you just had one other person, you would be so much warmer. Life would be so much better. You would be so much more protected. You would be so much more cared for. And then we see how joy fades in isolation. But three strands woven together, hinting at God being intertwined and invited into your relationships, are not quickly broken. The other Pastor Josh, you call him younger Pastor Josh if you want. You won't be my favorite person here, but you can call him that. You know, like, if you call me the handsomer Josh, you'll be my favorite person here. It's all right. He can grow into his looks. Still, he's young. having some crow's feet by your eyes. They just have that rugged, no? Yeah, you're with like rugged, I did life and I'm still here. And the beard's not completely gray yet, kind of handsomeness, no? Okay. So I tell myself when I wake up every morning, you got this, man. It's all right. You're not that old. It's hinting there. Josh demonstrated this in the fall when we were talking about the importance of community and church during our ministry spotlight. Or we did like a thing in the fall. And he was up here with cords actually trying to break them. The strength, the protection, it's all there intertwined. And I found this incredible thing. My daughter is, my oldest daughter is a science nerd. Any science nerds in the building? Usually they're proud of that. So I'm surprised nobody stuck their hand up. Taylor is really smart kid. Well, she's not a kid anymore. And she's studying biology up at Penn State and always tells me these incredible facts that I had no idea about the world we lived in and like how we see color and what the world is actually like without that. And like, it's just like God's design for how we live and function in this crazy world he created is mind-blowing. And if you're struggling with if God is a designer of this or if it's random, you should actually study some biology because it is absolutely incredible. Did you know this, that healthy forests are interconnected in their root system by fungus? Did you know this? Like a healthy forest has trees that grow and their roots grow down. And then there's this fungus that system in a healthy forest that connects those. It's like the wood wide web that connects all of those roots. And she would be mad that I just said that because she would say it by its actual name, which I had to write in the column of my Bible. Mycorrhizal networks. I might have said that wrong. Listen, I studied to be a pastor, so don't judge that part, right? Like, these networks are absolutely incredible. You have trees that are growing. They're through their root systems and these networks of fungus that are connecting their root systems in the forest. Trees can actually share nutrients with a weaker tree. I don't know how this works. It's absolutely incredible. But they can actually alert each other of danger. If there is a tree in an area of that forest where the soil is lacking nutrients, through these networks of fungus, these trees can share nutrients. Like, that is incredible design. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how they alert themselves. If you ran at a forest with an axe, like, I don't know how that looks. But absolutely incredible part of God's design for our world. And it's a lot like us. If you're in a circumstance where nutrients is lacking, you're walking through a dry spot or a difficult spot, God gives us each other. And most often through the network of the church to share nutrients with you, to give you strength, to carry your burdens. No wonder in Hebrews 10, it says, let us not give up gathering together and spurring each other on towards love and good deeds. And in doing so, encouraging one another. It's because God did not design you to grow alone. You be the tree. Let us be your fungus. I said that to the team this week when I thought of it. I'm like, bro, we gotta make this a t-shirt. And they were like, huh? I don't think so. But there's barriers that get in the way all the time. It's uncomfortable. Community that God calls us to is not comfortable, but it's worth it. We're busy. Yeah. Busy running out. Busy running into exhaustion. busy being overwhelmed, busy having life stolen from you by a calendar and things that do not care about you. We're busy, too busy for community, too worried that I'll be rejected. Maybe some of you have experienced that, and that's a real thing. That's not God, though. And if you've experienced that in church, that's not God's church. It's worth the risk to put yourself out there and join community, to put yourself out there and trust a friend. It's worth the risk. So many of us, we live like, I didn't need those anyway. You know, this is like us, right? So like you're over here peeking out. Can you can't even see that, right? Like, and you're over here and we're all separated. And yeah, that's interesting. Have you ever noticed a flower growing by itself somewhere random? Like, it grows, but you know what you ask yourself when you see a flower that is growing by itself in someplace random? You go, how did that get here? And then some kid who's smarter than you says, a bird probably pooped a seed out. Sorry for that one. But it surprises you because we're used to seeing healthy flowers and bunches and healthy plants growing together. Nobody plants a garden like this. And if I did, if I watered this plant and this plant had nutrients, well, this part of the soil, who knows what's going on over there? But you know what is more beautiful? And you know what helps growth? You know what makes plants grow better? And you know what makes them more beautiful? You know why the seeds fall close to the tree? Because we grow best in relationships and community. It's because joy is experienced best through relationships. So I thought a lot about like the takeaway, how many weird things I was going to suggest you tried to do this week to experience more community in my life. And then I realized, like, if you're here, you got a great start. If you're here in Tremont, if you're here in this building, you're off to a great start. You're participating in community already just by showing up. But I also want to clear something up. This is not relationship. Having somebody on stage talking to you for 20-ish minutes is not community. Community is what you do after the sermon, before you walk out to your car. Community is who you take to lunch today. Community is the conversations you have with each other. Community are the groups that you get involved in. Community happens on the teams that you serve with. And while it may be uncomfortable and risky, and I don't know what steps God is calling you to, maybe it's mending a friendship, maybe it's being more intentional with the people in your house instead of just running through a list of things you got to check off every week. Maybe it's about lingering a little bit after the service and having a conversation with somebody and seeing somebody you know and checking in on them. Maybe it's caring for a neighbor. I don't know what he's calling you to do, but I do know that even if it's uncomfortable, and even if you don't feel like putting yourself out there, and even if you're afraid of rejection, and even if it scares you to talk to people, it is all, community is always worth it because of what God will do in your life and in your heart through others who love him. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for community. Man, I don't know if I would be alive. I probably wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't be here doing this morning without people that you have used in my life to help me grow in my walk with you. People that showed up when I was lonely and couldn't see the light, people that offered hope when I didn't think there was any, people that interrupted the mundane and the busyness to let me know that life is about more than just going through a day. friendships and mentors and students and all kinds of people that you have used to enrich my life, to enrich our lives, and to help us experience joy. I pray that this week, it's so hard to know how to send us off with this one. I pray this week that you would convict us towards more and towards healthier community with others. That you would convict us towards relationship, that you would convict those of us who need to slow down, that you would convict those of us who need to prioritize people, that you would convict those of us that are choosing isolation, and that you would encourage us and strengthen us and give us the courage to just deepen our relationships with those you have placed in our life and maybe even start some new ones. We're so thankful for the joy that you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.